Okay, picture this. You've got notes scattered everywhere after a big meeting, maybe some articles you've pulled, spreadsheet, tons of data points. It's all related somehow, but it's just messy. How do you cut through all that noise and, quickly get to the core insights without feeling totally buried? Well, that's pretty much what we aim for here on the Deep Dive. We take your sources, dig in, and pull out those crucial nuggets of knowledge. The goal is helping you get informed fast. And today we're doing a deep dive into something fundamental in computer science, parallel 1D arrays. Sounds a bit technical, maybe, but honestly, the concept behind it is surprisingly intuitive once you see it in action. It's about organizing data.
Exactly. Our mission today is really to unpack parallel 1D arrays. We want to get clear on what they are and, maybe more importantly, why they're so valuable for holding data that belongs together. We'll walk through some practical ways to implement them, especially thinking about reading data from files, which is, super common. And we'll look at their role in programming tasks, but also touch on their limits. When might other approaches be better?
Okay, let's dive in. So we often talk about arrays as just like simple lists, right? Like a shopping list, one type of thing. But what happens when you have different kinds of information that are linked, like say student names and their corresponding test scores? How do you keep those aligned?
Yeah, that's the perfect scenario. And parallel arrays offer a really elegant solution here. It's described in our source material as a great way of using two arrays alongside each other. The key idea is that these arrays store different information, maybe different data types even, but they correspond somehow. Think of them like columns in a spreadsheet. Column A has names, column B has scores. The name in row one goes with the score in row one. The link isn't some complex structure, it's just the position, the index. Item zero in the first array relates directly to item zero in the second array, and so on down the line.
Okay. So it's less about a fancy container and more about a strategy. Using simple lists, but keeping them in sync by their position number. Can you give us another quick example just to really hammer that home?
Absolutely. Let's take that student example further. You need names, which are strings, and test scores, which are numbers. Instead of trying to force those into one array, which can get messy, or creating some complex object for each student right away, you just use two separate arrays. One array holds all the names. Names, Alice, Bob, Charlie. The other holds the scores in the same order. Scores 85, 92, 78. So name 0 is 0 is Alice, and score 0 is 85. They're linked purely by that index, 0.
Yeah.
Simple. Right, but very effective for keeping related data paired up.
Right, that makes sense. It maintains the separation of data types but keeps the logical connection. But that brings up the immediate question, why do it this way? Why two or maybe even three or four separate arrays instead of, I don't know, one big structure or just lots of individual variables?
Well, the core reason, and our sources really stress this, is how effectively they manage related data. They're explicitly designed for this. They keep things that belong together logically connected, but without forcing you into maybe a less efficient structure, especially if the data types are different. Think about that deciding grades program mentioned in the Software Design and Development booklet. It eats people names, assignment marks, and exam marks. The design specifically says these would be stored in three arrays.
Three arrays, okay.
Yeah, one for names, one for assignment marks, one for exam marks. This lets you easily process everything for one student. You can grab the name from index 5, the assignment mark from index 5, the exam mark from index 5, calculate their overall percentage, assign a grade, all while keeping the data types separate but linked.
Okay, I see the appeal now compared to like student one name, student one score, student two name, student two score. That would get completely unmanageable fast.
Exactly. It becomes incredibly difficult to loop through or process systematically. Parallel arrays give you that structure, it's clean.
So it's about organization, keeping related, the different types of info aligned. Got it. The why is clear. Now, the how do we actually build this in code? Especially you mentioned when dealing with data from outside the program, like reading from a file.
Right, because data often lives in files, text files, CSVs, you name it. And getting that data into these parallel structures is key. Our source material actually gives a really good Python example for this, using a function called readFile to parallel arrays.
Okay.
It shows how you'd read something like an emailist.txt file, maybe it has a number, first name, last name on each line, separated by commas. The process involves a few steps. First, you open the file, naturally. Then you read the whole thing in. A really useful method here is split lines. You read the file content, cut lots of split lines on it. What that does is break the entire text into a list where each item in the list is one line from the original file. Super handy.
Okay, so you get a list of lines first.
Precisely. Then you loop through that list of lines, For each line, you use another method, typically split if it's comma-separated data. This takes a single-line string, say, one Alice Smith, and breaks it into a list of its parts, one Alice Smith.
Based on the comma.
Exactly. The comma acts as the delimiter. Then you take each of those parts and append it to the correct parallel array. So one goes to the Naray, number array, Alice goes to Foray, first name array, and Smith goes to Saray, surname array. You do that for every line in the file.
Wow, okay, so you're iterating through the lines, splitting each one, and then distributing the pieces into their respective arrays. That's quite neat.
It is. It's a very common pattern for parsing simple structured text files into parallel lists.
And then once you have the data loaded, like that numbers in one array, first names in another, surnames in a third, how do you actually use them together? Like if you wanted to print out a nice list of all the members.
That's where another Python feature comes in really handy, the zip function. Yeah, zip, our source shows this, for first name, surname, and zip, no array, first name array, surname array. What zip does is pretty cool. It takes multiple lists or other iterables and essentially pairs up the elements at the same index. So the first pass through that loop, zip gives you the first element from no array, the first from first name array, and the first from surname array.
Oh, I see. So no gets no array, first name array, and surname gets surname array all at once.
Exactly. Then the next time through the loop, it gives you all the elements at index one, then index two, and so on. It keeps them perfectly synchronized.
That's incredibly useful. It avoids having to manage the index manually, like for any mirarrange or mirarray, and then accessing no array, first name array, etc.
Precisely. Zip makes the code cleaner and less error-prone when you're working with parallel data. You just loop through the zipped tuples. And the example also shows using string formatting, like .5, .12s, .12s, .format, first name, surname, to print things out neatly.
Right. That looked a bit cryptic at first glance.
It can seem that way.
Yeah.
But it's just instructions for layout. Like fives means left a line in a space, five characters wide, five, treat it as a string. It helps make sure your output lines up in columns like a table.
Making the parallel nature visible in the output too. Very nice.
It really brings it together visually.
Okay, this is making a lot more sense. To really solidify this, you mentioned practical tasks. Could you walk us through a specific task where someone, maybe a student learning this, would really need to use parallel arrays?
Absolutely. A great example comes from the King's Park booklet, specifically Task 4A. It's designed precisely to reinforce this concept. The task starts by asking the user to enter in 10 names of students.
Okay, so step one, get the names, need an array for that.
Right. Then it says, once all 10 names have been entered, the program should ask the user for a valid score between 0 and 150 for each student.
Uh-huh. So another array, parallel to the names, to hold those scores.
Exactly. You need to make sure the score entered after the fifth name goes into the fifth position in the scores array corresponding to that fifth name. But it doesn't stop there. The task then requires the program to calculate the percentage of each score.
Okay. So potentially another array. For the percentages.
You got it. You'd calculate the percentage for the score at index I and store that result in a percentages array at index I. And finally, it has to assign a grade based on the percentage, like over 85% is A, over 70% is B, etc.
Let me guess. A fourth parallel array for the grades.
That's the most straightforward way, yes. A grades array where Gradesi holds the letter grade corresponding to the student name in Nemesi, their score in Scorisi, and their percentage in Percentage-AZ.
Wow. Okay, that task really forces you to manage multiple related pieces of data for each student, keeping them all aligned using that shared index.
It really does. It makes the organizational benefit very clear. You see how you can process related information across different arrays quite systematically. It's a great hands-on exercise.
Definitely seems like it. So parallel arrays are clearly useful, powerful for certain scenarios, especially with that kind of structured related data, but are they always the best choice? You hinted earlier about limitations. For people wanting to go a bit deeper, where do parallel arrays fall short? What are the alternatives?
It's a really important point. No single data structure is perfect for everything. And parallel arrays do have trade-offs. The King's Park booklet itself mentions they can be used as an alternative to records. Oh, that involves much more code. That's a big clue.
More code, meaning potentially more complex to manage.
Potentially, yes. Especially as the number of related attributes grows. Imagine you weren't just storing name and score, but also address, phone number, date of birth, emergency contact. You'd have, what, 6, 7, maybe 10 parallel arrays?
Right. And doing anything complex seems like it would get fiddly. Like, what if you needed to delete a student?
Exactly. You'd have to find the student's index and then remove the element at that exact index
yeah.
from all 10 arrays. Forget one, and your data is suddenly corrupted, mismatched.
Or sorting, if you wanted to sort by last name.
Huge headache. You'd sort the last name array, but then you'd need a really complex mechanism to figure out how the indices changed and apply those same swaps to all the other arrays to keep everything aligned. It's doable, but it gets messy and inefficient quickly.
Okay, so managing multiple arrays can become cumbersome, especially for operations like adding, deleting, or sorting based on different criteria.
Precisely. And this is where the alternative mentioned in the software design and development booklet comes in. Arrays of records.
Arrays of records. What's a record in this context?
Think of a record, or you might hear it called a struct, or more commonly in Python, an object or even just a dictionary, as a way to bundle all the related information for one single entity together. So instead of parallel arrays for name, score, and grade, you'd define a student record structure that holds one name, one score, and one grade all together in a single package.
Ah, like a little container for all of one student's info.
Exactly. Then your main data structure is just a single array or list that holds these student record containers. So student's record for Alice, record for Bob, record for Charlie.
Okay, I see the conceptual difference. How does that help with those tricky operations?
Well, the booklet says records offer far greater control, making searching and sorting much easier. If you want to sort by grade, you just tell the sorting function to look at the grade part inside each record. When it moves a record, all the information for that student, name, score, grade, moves together automatically because it's bundled.
That sounds much cleaner for sorting and searching.
And deleting.
Same idea. You find the record you want to delete and remove that single item from the main array. All the related data disappears together because it's packaged together. No need to mess with 10 different lists.
So parallel arrays are great for simple index-based linkage, especially maybe when performance with primitive types is critical. But records or objects scale better for more complex data, or when you need easier manipulation like sorting or deleting.
That's a very good summary. Parallel arrays are foundational, efficient for certain tasks. But as data relationships get more complex or you need more flexibility, structures like arrays of records often become the more maintainable and robust choice.
That provides really valuable context. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've defined parallel 1D arrays, dug into why they're useful for related data.
Right, walked through practical implementation with file reading and using Zip and Python.
Explored how tasks like the grading example reinforce the concept.
And importantly, discuss their limitations and when alternatives like arrays of records might be a better fit.
It's clear they're a key tool in the programmer's toolkit, but also a stepping stone to understanding more complex data structures.
Definitely. They show the fundamental need to manage relationships in data, even if more advanced structures offer perhaps more elegant ways to do it later on.
So thinking about that evolution, here's something for you, our listener, to ponder on your own journey. If parallel arrays are about linking data simply by position, by index, how does the move towards structures like records, which bundle related data together explicitly, change how we should think about modeling relationships in the real world? Not just in code, but in any complex system we analyze. What does it mean to group information versus linking it side by side? Lots to think about there. Thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive. We hope this look at parallel arrays helps you see the structure and connections in information a little more clearly.